You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil Hewlett. I thank you for tuning in. This is the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. On today's show, how proud are you to be an American? We have the latest survey of moderate to extremely proud Americans. I know you would invest your money more aggressively, but investing is hard. We'll ask an expert if there's a surefire, easy way. Plus, it's Manny the Movie Guy's worst nightmare, choosing between Terminator and Magic Mike. Let's meet the friends. He's one of the seven or eight wonders of the world of radio. Gonzo, Greg Spillane.
I've always said picnic basket stealing bears are one thing, but here's why you really shouldn't go to one of America's favorite national parks. I'll tell you about that in a bit.
Ooh, all right, a little travelogue. And that's it for the friends today.
Oh, you're short on friends.
Yeah, we've got to go it alone, Greg.
People have things to do. It's a holiday weekend, right?
Yeah, it's Phil and Greg show. Or you probably thought of all kinds of goofy like morning show team names. You know, like
it's Phil, Greg, and the Weasel. We need it. You know, it's always one guy. It's going to be named after an animal, right? Yeah.
Or it's the Neil and Bob show.
Zzz, ding 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 ding.
Wait for it. Wait. Okay, now you get it. Very good.
Do you have a bell in there? You have to have a morning show bell.
And a finger, finger, finger. One of those. Live from Honolulu, it's Skip Tumalu and the Morning Hula Crew. Hey, if you listen to this program on iTunes, thanks for leaving a comment and a review, especially a good one. You're helping the show by doing that because the folks at iTunes, they read your comments, they notice your five-star reviews, and don't forget to subscribe. Subscribe, 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 and say that 100 times. Hey, big show today. Even though it's just you and me, Greg, we'll do our best to be up to the task of bigness.
Well, that's how I start most of my days.
But, you know, some of America's national parks are big in all of their glory, and they offer some of the most spectacular things that you won't see anywhere else in the world. Isn't that
right? I've never been. Have you been to Yellowstone?
I should say I've never been because I went when I was so young. I can't capture any of the memories.
Well, I guess that's where they have all the hot springs and the geysers and all that weird stuff, right?
Old Faithful.
Okay, that's where that is, right? Yellowstone.
Yeah.
Okay, so the reason that happens is apparently that's sitting on top of a giant super volcano. So there's all sorts of underneath of there. That's why there's all that hot water happening.
It's geothermally heated water.
Right. So there's molten magma. Magma under the earth. So anyway, point of this being,
what is the scientist point?
Arizona State University has done some studies so they can effectively predict when that thing is going to blow up and essentially, you know, end the earth as we know it.
Yeah.
So at some point, that thing will be a volcano and blow, and most of North America will be covered by a blanket of ash and major climate change and, you know, probably our eventual extinction and so forth.
Yeah, and so much for the dinosaurs coming back. They'll be extinct again.
Well, they're in the movies. They're fine.
Don't you hate that one guy at the party who's had a little too much to drink? Really, he's a cheap date. He's had two beers, and he's walking around the party saying, magma.
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 Well, there's words like that that'll get stuck in your head.
Yeah.
For me, it's the word smock. Once you start saying that, you can't say it.
You're
smock.
What are you, an old Steve Allen fan?
Anyway, these guys, they studied the chemical concentration in magma crystals, magma. Yeah. And so what they're getting to is they'll probably be able to predict in advance about 10 years before the thing blows up.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll have a 10-year advance warning to be able to get off the planet, because I get the feeling things are going to suck after that.
Well, they better hurry up with this whole colonizing Mars thing.
I know. They're going to make it a lot more enticing.
Is it too late to get on that list of people that signed up?
They're
going to
go live and die on Mars?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Because it takes like a third of your life just to get there.
Yeah, they're going to build like a sales office for the condos. So they're going to land, and they'll, you know, you go to the presentation. You have to sit through the presentation, but you get the, you know, buffet and the
meal.
I'm
sorry, I'm not putting a big down payment. I'm leasing. They better have a lease office.
They might. Yeah. You could sublet maybe from somebody.
All right. Well, people are traveling all over the place. It's the holidays. They like taking the long weekend, but it's also the time of year when people like to light stuff on fire and make it go boom.
This is what makes America great. Is this weekend?
Yeah,
it's drinking. It's burning meat, and it's blowing stuff up.
Yeah.
And from the Department of the Obvious, the Transportation Security Administration, would like to remind you that if you're going to visit Aunt Edna back home, to not bring fireworks on the plane, please. Since, as they've demonstrated, they can't find bombs, so they're not going to be able to find your suitcase full of sparklers, which are not permitted. Basically,
where are all the fireworks made now? In China and in Mexico and what, Vietnam?
I guess, yeah, primarily, right?
Yeah, I would think.
So are they going to be flying in from there, maybe?
Well, people travel to those places, and then they pack their cargo jeans. Cargo pants full of those suckers?
Full of fireworks.
Yeah.
What I found most entertaining by this is they have a complete list of the fireworks that you should not bring on, such as aerial repeater fireworks, aerial shell fireworks, firecrackers, flying spinners, chasers, fountains, bottle rockets, ground spinners, parachute fireworks, poppers, snaps, sky rockets, missiles, Roman candles, smoke fireworks, snakes, strobes, sparklers, wheels, and any other type of firework that would be any fun.
Well, it sounds like you ran the list, but you know what? Sometimes the fireworks stand. Hold on a second. What?
So you're going to tell me you don't have no black cats, no Roman candles, or screaming beamies?
No.
Oh, come on, man. You don't got no lady fingers, buzz buttles, snicker bombs, church burners, finger blasters, gut busters, zippity doodahs, or crap flappers?
No, I don't.
You're going to stand there owning a fireworks stand and tell me you don't have no whistling bungholes, no spleen splitters, whisker biscuits, honky lighters, hoosker do's, hoosker don'ts, cherry bombs, nips-a-dazers, with or without the scooter stick, or one single whistling kitty chaser?
No.
Yeah.
Because snakes and sparklers are the only ones I like.
Can't even bring those on the plane. Snakes and sparklers. Can't even get those on a plane.
They're on the list, aren't they?
Yeah. Have you ever had an awesome Roman candle fight?
No, I have not.
Oh, wow. You haven't lived, man. Or you haven't lived in Indiana. Oh. I'll just put it that way.
Okay, fine. But you know what? Growing up, my dad always used to talk about life, you know, in a simpler time when he lived up in upstate New York or Vermont or wherever it was back in the 20s and 30s when he was a kid. And he said back then, fireworks were unsafe and insane. In fact, all the kids had Roman candles, not the ones they sell at the corner store these days. These were the kinds that you actually had to hang on and kind of buttress it against your shoulder, or else you probably hurt yourself. And then you would shoot something about 200 feet in the air, and it would explode and drop flames all over the farmer next door, all over his crops.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because what is there to burn in Vermont, after all? Well, the leaves have all turned colors, and they're not flammable at all, are they?
Light fuse, get away. I think will be the slogan for the weekend.
By the way, one more thing, fireworks related. On our show fun page, there is quite the video of mannequins getting maimed by fireworks.
Oh, I've seen that video.
It's set to the 1812 Overture.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Yeah.
So they put music to it.
Right. And it's all fun with the Consumer Product Safety Commission fireworks safety video. And it's pretty cool. And you see the mannequin blowing up his hand. Another one blows up his head. The most fun, I think, out of the video, there's one of those kid-style mannequins.
Okay.
And he's wearing a coat and some jeans. And apparently he's got firecrackers in his shirt pocket and in his pants pocket. And then they start going off in his pants. And it's just, you know, that could happen.
They're in his pants?
They're in his pants. Yeah.
Yeah, so, it's probably not the place to light the firecrackers is when they're in your pants.
No, but the video.
I noticed on the list, too, they didn't list, like, M80s was the thing. If you could find an M80 when you were in high school, that was how you would blow up blow the urinal off the wall in the boys' room.
That's how you get chicks, too. Hey, I've got an M80.
M80. Mm-hmm. And then some buddies of mine, we got a half stick of dynamite and put it in a shopping cart, lit it, rolled it down the hill, and blew the shopping cart apart. It's pretty amazing. USA!
Yes!
USA!
That's when you learn the science lesson of shrapnel. Is that when you learn that?
That's why we pushed the cart away. We had enough sense to send it into the parking lot towards people's cars.
That's good. You know,
well planned.
Otherwise, you'd have a Market Basket logo on your forehead burned into it right now.
Right, just reversed.
Yeah. All right. So the grammar Nazis are out there. And
it's been a big couple of few days for grammar news.
Yes, and you're going to hear the most remarkable couple of stories on this topic next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. You know, we were talking about Yellowstone Park and how it's about to explode and destroy the human race and the planet.
Well, probably not this century, but eventually, yes.
Yeah, yeah. But it reminds me that, do you know what the two most often used phrases in movies are?
Hold on, let me, come with me if you want to live.
Yeah, something like that.
Get to the chopper.
No.
No, it's not get to the chopper.
No, that's only been in one film.
Come on.
Once, but I mean overused over and over again, dozens of times. How many times have you heard the phrase, seize him, you fools? You've heard that a lot, haven't you?
I think that was in Joe versus the Volcano.
Yeah, I think
sure.
So. Yeah. All right. But the one that's relative or apropos, as the smart guys say, to the Yellowstone story is one of the most used phrases in movies. Look out, she's going to blow.
Really? Is this actual fact or are you just making this up?
I'm making it up. But it's true, though.
Oh, all right.
It is true. I've seen dozens of movies where somebody said, look out, she's going to blow.
There's I'm getting too old for this, or I'm getting too old for this blank is also a popular one. In fact, there's a couple of YouTube mashups where somebody took like every instance of somebody saying, I'm getting too old for this.
Seen it.
And put them. You've seen that one. Yeah, that's a good one.
Seen it. All right. So here's what I always say. Go back and find yourself a 1960s second grade grammar book and read it cover to cover, and you'll learn all you ever need to know about grammar. And it's equivalent to perhaps a post-secondary college grammar book, if you found this 1960s second grade grammar book, because people just aren't learning their grammar anymore. And there's still folks out there whose dynamic it is in their life to sit on their easy chair and go nuts when they hear or see or read poor grammar. Isn't that right?
Yeah, criticize everybody else's grammar or using the wrong form of to or there.
Yes.
Or what have you. What was that one book that you used to have to get in school that was The Rules of Grammar? It had a name, and now I can't remember it, and it used to be on my bookshelf. But anyway, it's been a big week for punctuation in terms of grammar.
Yeah.
It started earlier with, I don't know if you've seen this, but do you have a web browser in front of you there, Phil?
Yes, I do.
Okay, go just type in, and this is going to look weird in your search history, but it's worthwhile. Just type in, come on our girls. And it was a banner that they were holding up to support the English women's soccer team.
Mm-hmm. Banner urges England's World Cup fans to come on their girls.
Right. There needed to be a comma in there, most people would think, because it could be misconstrued somehow. So punctuation has been, it's been a big, big week for punctuation. There was a woman who got out of a traffic or a parking ticket because of a missing comma.
No kidding. How did that work?
She had her truck parked on the street for longer than 24 hours, which, according to this town that she lived in, was not acceptable.
Yeah.
However, looking at the statute, a vehicle could not be parked for longer than 24 hours, including, quote, a motor vehicle camper.
What is that, a motor vehicle camper?
Well, that's what she said. This is a truck. It's not a motor vehicle camper.
That is officially the first time anybody's ever said that's what she said on this program.
It was supposed to say motor vehicle, comma, camper to indicate a list.
Uh-huh.
So she actually got out of the ticket. The judge sided with her, said, you know, it's clear what they were trying to say, but, you know, you're right. They should go and probably put a comma in there to fix it.
Yeah.
Further research into punctuation led me to an interesting item. Back in 1992, there were some people that were trying to introduce a new form of punctuation, which I think I support, it is the exclamation comma. So it
well,
is
what?
It's a combination of the exclamation point with a comma. So instead of the dot at the bottom, you would have a comma. So in the middle of your sentence, you could get excited rather than waiting to the end to put the exclamation point at the end. So you could say, holy crap, exclamation comma, there's a giant weasel eating my face.
Yeah, well, in the past, that was a good place to stop your sentence after holy crap.
Holy crap.
But the comma, so in other words, it's somewhere between an exclamation and a semicolon.
Kind of like that.
Well, you're continuing the thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I don't buy it. So he wasn't able to get that worked into the...
It never really, it didn't seem to catch on.
The English lexicon.
Yeah, and we'd have to add another key on the keyboard, mm-hmm. I would imagine, yeah. for that to happen as well. But I don't know. I might try and bring it back because I believe that I support the exclamation comma.
Oh, just looking at people's Yelp reviews and other online posts, you will see very creative use of punctuation, like dot, 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 comma, exclamation point. I've seen that before, with people are excited and upset with the service that they received at the restaurant.
So that's the ellipsis into mm-hmm. the exclamation point.
Yeah, exactly.
Into an emoji of poo.
Yeah. Hey, run out onto the street right now with a microphone and ask everybody you see, tell me, what is an ellipsis?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's when the sun gets in front of the moon. And
no, no. In fact, if you're having Siri type for you and you say ellipsis, it will spell the word. But if you say dot, 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 it will give you three dots.
Oh, all yeah. right. Who did that song, a country western song, I'm proud to be an American?
Oh, that's Lee Greenwood?
Is that who?
Am I
is
right?
That right? You are correct, sir. Where's
right,
my
okay.
bell? Where's from the Neil and Bob show. Where's the
right.
bell? I don't have
ding,
it.
Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, all right. Well, this is from the folks at Gallup. They have nothing better to do than to call people on the phone at dinner time and ask them questions. Or stop them in the mall. I'm not sure exactly what their method is, but or their methodology, as they would point out. But as Independence Day approaches, the 4th of July, for those of you who forgot, most of us in the USA say we are proud to be an American, including a slight majority of 54% who are extremely proud. The percentage saying they are extremely proud, however, is slightly lower than in recent years and down from peaks at around 70% between the years 2002 and 4. And that's right after 9/11. If you recall, everybody had an American flag out on their front porch.
Oh, yeah.
After 9/11. Now, here's where it gets interesting. In addition to the 54% who are extremely proud to be an American, 27% say they are very proud. 14% say they are moderately proud. 4% are only a little proud. And 1% say that they are not proud at all. And so that's the neighbor you have to worry about.
So wait, 54% was...
Extremely proud.
Extremely proud. Yeah. 27% for very proud?
Yeah, 14, moderately, 4%, okay. only a little proud.
Now, if you were to ask these people, maybe change the venue, how proud are you to be an American if you were to ask them, say, I don't know, in the Middle East?
Yeah.
While they're
visiting the Middle East. And,
sure,
and,
I'm not even American. I'm Canadian.
Right? While they visit the public restroom and find no toilet paper but a rubber hose.
Exactly.
How proud are you to be an American?
Happy I am. Just not going to talk about it real loud at the moment. Just want to kind of keep that under wraps till I get back home.
Yeah, right. You know, I remember there was a time back in, I want to say, 1980, 1981, the Rolling Stones played a big concert at the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. And the opening acts in reverse order were Jay Giles, George Thorogood, and Prince. And Prince was relatively new to the scene. Came out wearing some frilly, fluffy stuff and some tight, it was either spandex or lace pants, I'm not sure what it was. And the wonderful folks in the audience started tossing tennis shoes at him.
Yeah, your average Rolling Stones Jay Giles fan wasn't really ready for Prince at that point.
Not in 1980. And so Prince stormed off the stage, did not finish his set, and then later in a quote, or in a press release handed by to a bonded messenger who delivered it to a local newspaper, stated in a statement that he was never going to tour again. Well, we know that was not the case, but just the same, Prince somehow remains in the news and relevant and in demand, and I'm not sure his latest move is going to help that.
Sure. Well, remember in 2010, he said that the internet was completely over and didn't want anything to do with it.
Pretty sure he's wrong about that.
Yeah, I don't know. Could go either way. Not really sure. I don't know if his music is currently on iTunes. I don't know if you can even download it from iTunes or not.
Huh.
I'm guessing that it's not on their new streaming service because Prince has decided as of yesterday, I think, that he's taking all of his music off of all the streaming services except for one, the one that's run by, what's his name? It's called Tidal. Jay-Z. Jay-Z
oh.
runs Tidal. So if you want to stream Prince's music, the only place you can get it is on that Tidal platform.
Yeah, yeah.
I've never been a fan. I've been mad at him since he messed up the Bangles. Bangles were cool, and then they became all pop.
He mangled the Bangles.
He mangled the Bangles. Thank you, Phil. Ding!
Yeah, there you go. Hey, by the way, female senators, U.S. senators, were not allowed to wear pants on the Senate floor until 1993.
What? Really?
That calls for an exclamation comma. So until 1993, female senators were pantsless.
I don't think that's what they're saying, Phil, but...
Hey, Arnold is back this weekend. So is his CGI younger self. Manny the Movie Guy reviews the new Terminator movie and more next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. All right, it's time to see what the movie companies have in store for you at your local Cineplex. Joining us live is the keeper of the summer box office, KMIR-TV movie reviewer XXL, Manny the Movie Guy.
That's right, I'm XXL. I wonder why.
I don't know. You must be bursting at the seams to talk about the new Magic Mike movie.
Unintended, that's right. Well, you know, we've all been teased by Magic Mike XXL, and after teasing us so many months, it's finally here. Get your singles ready. It's showtime. It's been 3 years since the first Magic Mike surprised everyone with its creativity and strong box office performance. XXL, the sequel, pays respect to Steven Soderbergh, the director of the original, but this time, the movie just wants you to have fun.
Oh.
And having fun for the second time is, of course, Channing Tatum. He's our Magic Mike. Initially, he quit the Kings of Tampa to pursue his business, but the boys keep pulling him back in. Also returning are the rest of the male entertainers, namely Joe Manganiello, Kevin Nash, Matt Bomer, and Adam Rodriguez. Gabriel Iglesias also returns as their announcer, Tobias. Their supporting characters, though, this time are much bigger and meatier.
Uh-oh.
This time around. Now,
more meat for your dollar, man?
Where's the bell, Phil? Hit the bell.
I don't have a bell today.
Now, the absence of Matthew McConaughey, many people may be wondering, you know, what's going on with him. It can be felt you would feel his absence as Dallas, the strip club owner, but have no fear. Jada Pinkett Smith did a good job as Rome, another club owner who helps the Kings of Tampa find their groove back. But can I tell you something, though?
What's
honestly,
that?
When I was watching the film, initially I was like, who is that? I could barely identify her until I heard her talking. I'm like, oh, it's Jada Pinkett.
Oh.
We haven't seen her in a long time.
Yeah.
But another person, another actress we hadn't seen in a long time is Andie MacDowell, and I'm happy that she's back on the big screen. She plays one of the good angels that helped our male entertainers along the way. Like a road trip movie of some sort, we follow our favorite male entertainers as they hit the road to perform one last time at a 4th of July stripper convention in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And that's where I'll be this weekend.
Oh, really? Well.
Now, should we review the first film before we see the new one, or are we able to just jump right in?
You can jump right in. Magic Mike XXL, though, is not as good and witty as the first one, but this is lighter and funnier. I saw this with a bunch of Magic Mike fans, and it was fun to see it. So it's fun to see with a group of people.
Yeah. All right. Sounds like fun. And something else that sounds fun And why in the world did they spell Genesis wrong in the new Terminator movie?
That's right. Well, you know, the Genesis here is an offshoot of the Skynet, that big, bad computer from all the Terminator films. Here's the deal. My problem with this film is, in an attempt to reboot the franchise, the filmmakers changed the rules and gave us a time-traveling saga that is as confusing as Arnold Schwarzenegger's flittering accent.
Oh.
And let me tell you, the former governor is really, really the only reason to watch this film.
Wow.
Now, here's a quick plot to guide you. You remember John Connor, right?
Of course.
Yeah, the son of Sarah Connor, played by Edward Furlong in the much, much better T2 Judgment Day. In Genesis, he's played by Jason Clarke from Zero Dark Thirty, and he's the leader of the human resistance. He sends Kyle Reese, Michael Biehn in the original 1984 film, Jay Courtney in the new version. Kyle is sent back to 1984 to protect Sarah Connor, played by Emilia Clarke and memorably embodied by Linda Hamilton in the past Terminator Inceptions. But there's a twist. The timeline is fractured, and so does every faith I have in the franchise.
Oh.
Where's James Cameron when you need him?
Yeah.
Right.
Directed by Alan Taylor, the guy who gave us Thor, The Dark World, this Terminator tries so hard to please everyone that I don't think it will end up pleasing anyone.
Mm.
It attempts to lend more credibility to its time-traveling plotline by adding way too much subplot, and it also attempts to capture the humanity of the first two films. The film, though, this one, succeeds a little bit in giving humanity the storyline. And you know why?
Why?
It's largely because of Schwarzenegger, who is playing a robot. And he gives more heart to the festivities than most of the actors combined. I don't blame them, though. They're all part of this vexing puzzle to capitalize on the Terminator brand. And sadly, I think the franchise is dying. We need a creative filmmaker from the future to correct this Terminator.
Can you do Terminator without Arnold?
Well, it's kind of like, you know, no.
The short answer.
It's not going to work.
Yeah.
Although they did try, right? The last Terminator, I don't remember Arnold being there.
Yeah, well, look at the Batman franchise. How many Batmans we've had.
That's true. But when you think of Terminator, you just really think of Arnold.
Right. And he had to say, I'll be back, right?
Did he? Must have.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And so should we go with him if we want to live? Also,
we have to. Yeah, he's now the guardian.
Right. Okay.
He will
right.
protect us.
All right. Good. So things have turned around. All right. Well, sounds like fun. You have a wonderful 4th of July weekend and just a wonderful time. Were you somewhere of note that you want to mention last week when we didn't have you around?
Oh, yeah. Well, I was in Las Vegas last week. I was doing some conferencing, but I did play a few penny machines here and there.
Oh, the penny machines. You could have stopped in and said hello to Gonzo Gregg because he's right there.
That's right. Well, you know, I left, you know, whatever happened in Vegas, I did leave my money.
Good for you.
So, yeah, well, that's right. We said we weren't going to talk about it, Manny, so let's just leave it there.
Yeah, we already got the Magic Mike review, so fine.
That's right.
MannyTheMovieGuy.com. Visit it often. See his wonderful interviews with celebrities and others. And we will talk to you again next week, sir. Thanks.
Thank you, guys. I'm off to Myrtle Beach now.
Oh.
Have a wonderful 4th of July weekend.
Thanks. You too. All right. There he goes. Wow. Can you believe it?
I can.
Yeah. I mean, he had a Magic Mike party. He got all his Magic Mike friends together.
Do you maybe that sounds like a fun drive-in night right there?
Yeah, yeah. who gets to sneak in the trunk?
Right.
Hey,
sign me up.
You know what? You really should be investing your money, shouldn't you?
If I had some,
yeah.
I would invest the hell out of it.
Right, really, now, even if you didn't have any. But I know your four ex-wives have all your money.
Sure, exactly.
But anyway, investing—it's also mind-boggling, isn't it? I mean. It's confusing to me. It never has stopped being confusing. Every time I think I understand it, all of a sudden I don't, and I lose more money. So,
I have some tips. If you want some tips, I got tips for you.
Do you? Well, look, we've got somebody better than that. Not better than you as a human being, but this guy's the CEO of an investment advisory firm. He's a certified financial planner. And coming up, he's going to teach us a simple approach to investing. And that's next here on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing. A cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door. And the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. All right, you're listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends, Atta.com. You're at our website where you can enjoy all sorts of things, including the show fun page, where we have exploding mannequins. We have, you know what I found, Gonzo Greg?
Mm?
I found the those FIFA soccer ladies.
Oh, good. Yeah.
Standing and cheering in front of that sign that was made
with the banner that we were talking about.
The banner that was poorly grammatically
punctuated.
Yes,
yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You have to go take a look at it because I don't want to get in any more trouble. Now, one way you can get in trouble in a hurry is when you throw your money at things that some guys down the street said is a good idea to invest in. And who among us haven't done that several times? The thing is, most of us don't have a clue how to invest our money, and we've probably lost more than we've made. So to help with that, joining us live is certified financial planner, CEO, and senior advisor at FPC Investment Advisory, Inc., Bishan Golkar. Hello, sir. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Excellent. Even better now that you're here. Now,
all right.
Let me ask you, why is investing so mystifying to people who don't have a background in money management?
I think there's just so many unknowns, and you know, every time we're at a cocktail party or something, everyone has an idea on how to get rich quick, right?
Yeah, right.
And it's, you know, what we really see is that we all act on our primal emotions of like fear and greed. Everyone kind of, you know, for the most part, you fall into those two categories, especially with investing. And you know, being fearful or greedy, they're two extremes. So probably not the best place to be as an investor.
Right. When somebody says, hey, the marijuana business is going to take off, why don't you start investing in marijuana-related companies? Just invest in that sector. Okay, fine. So people start doing that, and for whatever reason, the money is not great money yet because a lot of companies won't do business with marijuana companies, at least not yet. And so you see your investment dwindle in a hurry, and then you think, all right, do I buy more and sit on it for 20 years because it'll be huge someday, or do I freak out and buy high and sell low like everybody else does?
Yeah, well, exactly. We always, you know, the old adage, you want to buy high and you want to buy high or sell high, buy low.
Yes.
And one of the things that's like I always tell people, do you guys want to know the secret to investing?
Of course we do.
All right, I'm going to let you in on the secret. The secret is that there's no secret.
Oh, lovely.
And
all right.
It sounds kind of glib, but it's really, it's true. I mean, you have the greedy investors on one hand. They're always trying to time the markets and stuff like that. So they're going to go all in, you know, I'm sure Tesla, Apple, something mm-hmm. like that.
Right.
And then you have the fearful investors where, you know, back in the big financial crisis, they're still sitting in cash to this day.
Yeah.
So it's what you really want to do is you don't need to swing for the fences all the time. You just need to have a nice diversified portfolio, and you don't need to have the glitz and glam of having that next big thing on tap.
So your money grows over time, and if you start with $100,000 or whatever, and like we have that, but let's just to use a round number for the sake of theory, you start with $100,000, and then 25 years later, you have $1 million. Is that the plan?
Yeah, you want to stick to the basics. So like if you have, let's say you want to retire with $500,000 in your name in 20 years. Mm-hmm. So all you need to do is there's tons of online calculators or like financial advisors like myself or FPC come in. We can help you say, hey, even if the markets have the crappiest run they've had, for 5-10 years, as long as you're saving $1,000 a month, you're going to make your goal. So who cares if they're down a little bit this year or up a ton next year? Just keep it simple.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Now, we're so afraid of losing everything. And I hear what you're saying about the keep it simple thing, but I just want to flesh some of these things out. Some of the terminology is just mind-boggling. For instance, the futures market. I've tried to wrap my head around that several times, and I keep coming up short of understanding it well enough to jump in. But it seems like a lot of people talk about the greedy folks who time things just right. If they know, okay, there's been a drought, so you know that prices are going to fluctuate in agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
And you can make some money in futures with that sort of thing. But I can't figure that out for the life of me.
And that's a great point. And I've been doing this for a while, and I like to think of myself as being pretty good, and I can't really figure that out all the time either.
Oh, great. All right. Now you just made me feel better about myself.
Didn't you watch Trading Places, Phil? That explained exactly how it was all about pork bellies. That was my takeaway.
Yeah, all right, great. Right.
Yeah, but let's buy some pork bellies.
Yeah. Yeah, no, well, I'm a little older than that. For me, it's plastics.
Plastics. There you go. No, and you bring up a really good point. And I think, you know, one of the things is a lot of times when we have clients come in or I'm talking to friends, you always hear about their success stories, right?
Yeah.
They never tell you about the losses and stuff that they've incurred.
No, that would be embarrassing.
That would be embarrassing, right? So one of the things we've noticed is that when we actually go in and look at a prospective client's portfolio and they're saying, yeah, well, you know, I can time these markets. I bought this here, that there, I do really well. I've very rarely, a good person might break even.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's not a professional.
You know, how many times have you heard these guys bragging about their portfolio? Then you take a good look and you see, oh, they acted on one of those emails about a penny stock that was going to catch fire.
9 times out of 10, Phil, that's what happens. Right. Honestly, 9 times out of 10, that's what it is.
Yeah, all right.
Hey, is day trading still a thing, and was it ever really? I mean, you'd get on E-Trade, and I made, you know, 10 grand today just, you know, flipping stocks. Did that ever really happen, and is it still going on?
Day trading, the dot-com boom was huge.
Yeah,
right. I mean, that was like a big thing, and after the financial crash back in 08, I think it stopped a lot. But as soon as you start to hear people getting back into day trading, that's when you should be getting nervous as a smart investor.
Oh, mm-hmm. Because
the volatility in the market, yeah, right?
That's the word, volatility.
Not only volatility in the market, but as soon as people start getting too arrogant and confident, mm-hmm, that's when you need to start getting worried, because that's when the general population, which, you know, we all know the average Joe isn't the best investor, right? If they're acting on their mm-hmm, fear and greed.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as everyone's acting on greed, that's when you need to be fearful.
Yeah. So at that point, what do? You sell your stocks, park your money, wait for the crash, and then buy everything up.
No. You don't want to go to cash, stuff like that. You want to make sure your portfolio is capable of withstanding the market fluctuations. So you never have to swing for the fences, like I said before.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it simple. You should be okay if your portfolio goes down, let's say, tell your advisor you're okay if it goes down by 20%.
Yeah. So you should be investing in toilet paper and food and alcohol and things that people aren't going to stop using.
Yes. And then, you know, keep some money in the mattress too. No.
Because that makes more interest than your bank account. Now,
yeah, exactly.
Now, how much money do you need to get started to make a difference? Let's say let's say you're in your 50s and maybe you want to leave some money behind, and you believe you're going to live to 90. So when you hit 70, you and the wife can just go traveling on the money that you've socked away and invested wisely. How much do you need to make a difference?
So it's a great question. So you start with, what you want to start with is how much you need to spend when you're retired. So a lot of people will say, oh, I need $1 million. And it's just as simple as that. Well, no, you might not need $1 million, or you might need 10 million depending on your spending, right?
Yeah.
So it's, you always want to start backwards from the most basic standpoint. So let's say, you know, you're 50 and you know, when I retire, I want to have the equivalent of $100,000 a year of income. So you got to check, okay, how much are you going to get for Social Security, mm-hmm, if that's going to be around for all of us, to
yep,
be determined, right?
Right. Sure, to be determined.
Yep, and then you'll say, okay, with, let's say you have about $25,000 a year in Social Security and you need $75,000 to cover the rest, mm-hmm, you'd have to work out, okay, depending on how much you want to leave for the kids, you know, you might need 1.4 million to make that happen.
Yeah.
But it's, and it could be less, but depending on, you know, where to get started, just, you have to start somewhere and just saving. So it doesn't matter if you're saving $10 a week or $100 a week or, you know, 10,000 a week.
Yeah.
You have to really start somewhere and make a plan that you can stick to.
Can I go to a website or do I need to get a financial planner involved?
You know, it's, to get started, you can go do some research online. There's a lot of, for smaller type accounts, if you don't have a lot to get started with a financial advisor, what I recommend is you can talk with someone like an advisor that has like a project fee basis for a reasonable hourly fee. And they'll say, hey, invest this much, put it in these funds here, low cost index funds, mm-hmm. and then come back and see me when you get up above X dollars. They might take people with 10,000 or, you know, like FPC, we have minimum accounts of $1 million. So there's a wide range of advisors. So find someone that you trust and you can, you know, always ask some friends for some referrals.
Got $1 million, go to fpcwealth.com. That's the website of the company where our guest, Mr. Bishan Golkar, is the CEO. Sir, pleasure to speak with you. And I'm still trepidatious, but I'm going to try something, I promise.
All right. It was great talking with you guys.
Yeah, same here. Okay, thank you, sir. So what do you think, Greg? You got $10 to sock away every month?
Maybe. Well, here's my tip. Here's how you pick stocks, okay? You go through the ticker, right? And you find one with a cool name.
Yeah.
A buddy and I, we bought a share of the Puhang Steel Company in China.
Puhang?
Because it was named Puhang.
Yeah.
And every year, we get a huge dividend check of like $1.75.
Off of one share?
Off of one share.
Wow.
Yes, of the Puhang Steel Company in China. So just a little tip for you investors out there, Puhang.
Yeah.
It's money. Big money in Puhang. We picked it because it was called Puhang.
Yeah, got to pick the nice ones, the good words.
Go with a good name, yeah. Works every time.
Yeah. By the way, P.T. Barnum of Barnum & Bailey Circus apparently never said there's a sucker born every minute.
Really?
Yeah. It's not clear who originally said it, but Barnum wasn't apparently the type to criticize his audience.
Maybe it was the bearded lady that said it.
It could be, because you can never trust a bearded lady.
I don't know if that's true or not.
Hey, that's it for hour one of our show. There's so much more to come, including fix up your social media profile photo, all patriotic and stuff, for the 4th. And you have anything else to tell us about? I'm sure you do. Hey, more Trump news and more Confederate flag news. Can you stand it? And the furor over peas in your guacamole continues.
What?
Those stories and more in the second hour of Phil Hewlett and Friends. Coming up next.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
Here's a great idea for your next outing, a cruise of the L.A. Harbor on a Spirit Cruises yacht. Whether you have a large party, a company outing, wedding reception, a reunion, or you need the perfect setting for a romantic evening, Spirit Cruises offers everything you need to relax and enjoy your time on the water. For a limited time, enjoy Sunday brunch at Portsacall Waterfront Dining right next door, and the first Spirit Cruises Harbor Cruise of the day is free. For more information, call 310-548-8080 or visit spiritmarine.com. You are listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. This is hour two of the talk show where you get nothing but fun, informative, sometimes unexpected conversation about the stories you care about. You'll hear from the experts, authors, and others. And we hope to put a little smile on your face along the way. This hour, what feels better, sex or getting a good bargain?
Oh, I know.
We have a quick way to show America you love her, and you'll learn how to be an all-American consumer. We have a lot more than that as well, so stick around with us. The friends are here. Hello?
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 Gonzo Greg Spillane is my singular buddy today.
And the crickets.
And I'm Phil Hewlett. Thanks for tuning in. We'll count you along on the list of friends, the ever-growing list of friends out there who subscribe to this program and tell their friends to subscribe and share our posts and do all those things that friends do. Isn't that right, Greg?
Yeah. I think that's the plan, right? Okay. Either that or we're starting some sort of weird cult, yeah. Which would also be cool. Maybe we should look into that.
It would. And you know what? Don't, you know, when I catch you on it, don't later say, oh, I forgot. You know, because I'm done with the I forgot thing.
That's good because they're doing a lot of research into forgetfulness.
Oh, they are.
Well, yeah, because it seems to be a recurring topic on the show, and maybe it's because we do have Alzheimer's, but there's a lot of research going into the study of the brain and figuring out why Alzheimer's is what it is and why it affects so many people. In the latest edition, I don't know if you subscribe to the journal Neuron, but it's about...
Oh, I love that. It's on my coffee table at home.
Do you get that? Yeah,
yes.
Great pictures in
mm-hmm.
there.
Quarterly.
So it's about, you know, brain studies and so forth, but they're looking into why... You know, like when you go to the mall or whatever and you park your car, you can't remember where you left your car.
Right.
You just, because generally you don't really think about it. However, if you run into somebody, this happened to me a while ago. I was at my regular local grocery store and I'm picking up, okay, a bottle of vodka. But anyway, yep. I'm there and I run into a friend of mine from Indianapolis.
Okay.
And I'm not in Indianapolis. I'm in my regular local grocery store. And I'm like, what are you doing here? And I remember our conversation. You know, I remembered who she was. I remember what we talked about. I can't remember my way home most of the time. Okay.
Yeah.
But I remember all the details about that. And that's what they're trying to figure out.
It's a different kind of memory, isn't it?
Exactly. And it happens in a different part of the brain. They're finding that there are special neurons in what is called the medial temporal lobe that respond only to specific places or people.
Huh.
And the way they research this is really bizarre because they're using, for an example, actress Jennifer Aniston.
Yes.
And they're finding...
I remember her.
Right, sure. After implanting electrodes into people's brains to study this, they find that if you think of Jennifer Aniston, you also think of Lisa Kudrow.
Oh.
Because they appeared on screen together, so they have a sense of place together.
Oh.
So that's why your brain kind of remembers it more than where you parked your car.
Yeah.
Weirdly, they went on to do some more research and trying to connect, you know, people and places and why we remember it more. And they went into, they started using Clint Eastwood. So they used pictures of Clint Eastwood and they would Photoshop him in front of places like the Eiffel Tower or the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
Yeah.
And they found that people had, there was more brain activity when they were able to connect rather than just a picture of Clint Eastwood,
yeah.
but a picture of him at a certain place. It was forming a memory more strongly. I guess there was more electrical activity or something like that.
Yeah.
Clearly, I'm not fully understanding this.
Me neither.
But I just found that who else would you use but Clint Eastwood when you're trying to remember?
Of course.
How many shots were there?
Yeah.
Was it six? Or how's the line go? Was it six or seven? I'm not sure. But
do you punk?
Do you, right, exactly. Yeah. Do you remember punk?
That's all
sure.
I remember.
Yeah, so Clint Eastwood will help you eventually remember how many shots.
So I think if we can distill this down to the basic, there are memories, and then there are memories that are loaded with impact moments. So if you walked in the shopping mall and suddenly bumped into Jennifer Aniston and knocked the shopping bag right out of her hand, and then
right.
Hurried up to try to pick it up for her, and she said, no, 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 I got it. And then you bang heads, and then you both
right.
knock out, and you find yourselves in adjoining beds in a hospital room at Cedars-Sinai. That's going to stick in your memory forever.
Those electrodes they put in your head, apparently,
yes,
I guess.
Right. But then if somebody says, put out the trash, you're not going to remember that moment probably 5 minutes later, and you'll forget to put out the trash.
Probably. I don't know how you do, Phil. I'm horrible at names. I will meet somebody
mm-hmm.
and go, you know, hi, how do you do, so-and-so? Hey, you know, Bob, nice to meet you. And if 2 minutes later in the conversation, I can't call them by their name.
Yes, and I've tried the devices. They say
right.
you have to actually say the guy's name three times. So I'm sorry, you said your name is Bob? Yeah, that's
mm-hmm.
right. Oh, great to meet you, Bob. So, Bob, tell me.
Right.
And that's supposed to help you remember the guy's name. Well, I've tried that. Spent a half hour walking around the cocktail party and then bumped back into that guy who I can't remember
Right.
If I, you know, you'd have to hold a gun to my head and pretend you were Clint Eastwood. I still wouldn't remember
exactly
the guy's name.
If he was Clint Eastwood, you would remember. And that is the takeaway. Everybody should be Clint Eastwood. Or as it was in the 80s, everyone was dude.
Yeah.
You could universally greet anybody,
yes,
male, female, anybody.
Right.
Dude.
Yes.
And it was accepted and considered proper.
Yeah. Right. Hey, one
as was the mullet, too. So, I mean, that's
well,
saying something.
Fine.
Hey, right.
One thing I left off of my discussion in the last hour when I pointed out that we have this show fun page at philhewlettandfriends.com is the topic of this next story. And I think most of us are terrified of getting bugs in our ears or other orifices for that matter.
Oh.
But the whole story, and I don't know if it's mythology or what, if you know, you walk past a tree and an earwig falls, you know, one of those pincher bugs, it suddenly is called an earwig, goes in your ear, lays eggs, and then all the babies eat your brain. You know, I think we're all unnecessarily concerned about that. But you have a story that will awaken the concern in everybody.
This may be one of the greatest bug in ear stories I've ever seen. And I kind of collect them because, first of all, I hate insects and also I hate myself. thanks to KATV in Arkansas for reporting the story of this poor kid who woke up one morning with a horrible earache. Mom, I had an earache. And she said, of course, earache my eye, and marched him into the car because they had stuff to do. So they get in the car, and while he's in the car, he's like picking at his ear because it hurts,
yeah,
and he proceeds to pull out of his ear a 4-inch long centipede.
Oh!
Bah, 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 bah! So
that was overly dramatic music right there.
Well, yeah. Go to the show fun page immediately.
I am looking at it.
The glory that is the 4-inch centipede that he pulled out of his ear.
And it's completely intact. You would think an insect, when you pull it through a curly ear canal
might fall apart, right?
You might leave bits and pieces of a 4-inch centipede somewhere in your ear canal.
An anthropod, arthropod. His mom, bless her, saved it in what looks to be a Ziploc, right? Puts it in a little Ziploc bag. And puts it on the steering wheel of the car to photograph it, apparently to put it on Instagram immediately.
Yeah.
Like, look what my gross kid pulled out of his ear.
Yeah, well, it's on the site. The caption is, this was in a guy's ear.
Ear. And it was.
Yeah. All 56 legs or so are intact, too. It didn't leave any legs or pinchers or antennae or anything like
that. It is so gross. So she took him to the hospital. They looked around. His ear is a little scratched up, but he's going to be okay.
Greg,
the news story concludes with this phrase, the condition of the animal is unknown. I would hope it is squashed 1,000 times over.
That's terrible journalism. Just, because what I want to know is, did the centipede lay eggs?
Well, they didn't find any eggs in his. They said they looked in his ear at the hospital, and there were small abrasions to his eardrum.
Yeah, all right.
But they didn't seem to find anything else in there. But yuck.
I know. Oh, boy. All right, now that we're all squeamish, if you like updating your social media profile photo to match the holiday, we have just the thing for you, an app which is just in time for the 4th of July, has gone viral, and we'll speak with the inventor and tell you all about what it is. Next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Thanks for tuning in. It's Phil Hewlett and Friends. I'm Phil. Gonzo Greg Spillane is here. And this is cool. I've already done it. Did you see my profile photos on Facebook and Twitter?
Have you looked at those? On the social media today.
You have not been on the Twitter or the Facebook?
The Twitters or the Facebooks.
No. There's an American flag superimposed over my face. You can still see me just fine, but it has a nice 4th of July vibe. And it's nice. The guy behind this quick photo conversion app is the CEO of a company called LiveRes. They have a website, liverez.com. Tracy Lotz, welcome to the program.
Hey, Phil, how you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, just a pleasure to have you. So first, let's start with the company. What is LiveRes.com?
So LiveRes is actually a 20-year overnight success. started it about 20 years ago, and we are the largest provider of software in the professional vacation rental industry. So professional vacation rental companies like Big Bear Vacation Rentals and different places like that use our software to actually power their businesses.
Yeah, that makes sense, and that sounds like a good business. But what we are about to talk about really has nothing to do with the mission or business model of LiveRes then, does it?
No, not at all. No.
Okay, good.
Perfect.
Yeah.
We're right on point.
All right, good. So Tracy, tell me about your idea.
Well, you know, Sunday night I was looking at Facebook, and a friend of mine named Shannon, she put on her Facebook page that it would be really cool for her to have an American flag superimposed over her Facebook profile for the 4th of July. Well, I started to think about it for about 3 seconds and realized that I own a software company, and I called up one of our engineers who works for us, Josh, and I asked Josh if, hey, how hard would this be to do? Well, he opens up Photoshop, and in about 5 seconds, he's got my Facebook profile page picture with an American flag on it, and I posted it on Facebook.
Oh.
Well, within about 5 minutes, I had 10 or 20 of my friends asking me, how do I get one? And I thought, wow, this could turn into something. And so I texted Josh back. This is Sunday night. I texted Josh back and I said, hey, how hard would it be to make this be self-serve so people could make their own? Because otherwise, this is all we're going to do for the next week is make Facebook profile pictures.
Yeah.
And, you know, 30 minutes later, 45 minutes later, he sent me back a prototype of it. And friends of mine started creating their own profile picture. Well, Monday night, we put the Facebook like and the Facebook share button on there. And since then, this thing has just exploded.
How many photos have been created? Do you know?
Yeah, about 75,000 people have actually made their photographs, and it's starting to exponentially multiply.
Well, that's because of me.
Absolutely.
Now, who do we have to thank for this? You, Shannon, or Josh?
You know what? I think it's a little bit of a collaboration there.
Yeah.
You know, Shannon put on there that she needed a photograph, and Tracy said, "Well, I've got the guys that can do it." And Josh, you know, and some other people in our office actually put it all together. So,
yeah. All right. Well, if you go to my Twitter, Phil Hewlett, or my Facebook, Phil Hewlett, you'll see that I've done it and I've provided a link. But you can also go to philhewlettandfriends.com, and on the links page, right there under the letter A, you'll see American flag profile photo. You click on that, it'll take you to the page that you described for us, Tracy, where you can
sure.
You can do it right there. You just upload the photo and zingo, you're done.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome, and I'll tell you, if you go, you can see the last 50 people who have done it, and it scrolls off every couple of minutes. It scrolls off.
How about
right.
that? Yeah, wow. And you're not in this for the money, are you?
Well, you know, no, you know, somebody suggested we charge $1 or 10 cents or 50 or whatever, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Are we really? There's a couple of things that we don't make money off of, and Old Glory is one of them.
Yeah,
you know,
right.
USA.
Yeah. Well, we all have our businesses that we do, and we've all got to go feed families and stuff. But you know, it's free, and it kind of ties in with freedom.
Yeah.
And you know, I've had. If you go look at the last 50 photographs, you'll see a cross section of the country. I mean, we've had guys who looked like they were in a music studio doing some rap. We've had a guy in a turban, somebody walking out of a temple, they're just got married with their yarmulke on,
yeah.
And it's everybody.
Yeah.
Some Confederate flags roll through.
No kidding. And they've got.
I was going to say, yeah, if you wanted to do a Confederate flag thing, you could, you know, you put that up for people to say, hey, I'm a hillbilly.
Yeah,
woo.
We've also had hundreds of people take their rainbow profile picture off their Facebook page and run it through the system, and now you had an American flag with a rainbow on it.
Wow! All right, so people, and everybody's getting creative.
Hundreds of people have been doing that. Yeah. Hey, this is the 4th of July. It's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Love it. Can we do one where, like, it'll be like my face, my profile picture, and then there's like an explosion where, like, an M80 went off, and so I blew my head up.
You know, we could do that. I'm not sure if you want us to do that or not.
But. I don't know if it'll catch on. I might do that one myself. That might be just for me.
I think it actually could catch on pretty well.
It might. Tracy, lots of a pleasure to speak with you. And I miss the old days in the South Bay of Southern California. And you are part and parcel with that with those memories, sir. And good luck to you. Well, happy 4th of July to you.
There's not a lot of, we're the old gauchos, right?
That's right. From Narbonne High School in Harbor City, California.
You guys went to Narbonne?
Yes.
If guys from Narbonne can make it, anybody can make it.
Yeah. That's right. Good for you guys.
Way to go. Tracy, good work on that. And again, go to our links page and look under the letter A. You'll see American flag profile photo. Just click on that and you'll be good to go. Thanks so much and continued good luck with your overnight 20-year success at LiveRes.com, Tracy.
Hey, thanks so much.
All right, you're welcome. All right, so we mentioned the Confederate flag there a moment ago, and there is some news. We've been talking about this almost every program for a while now. TV Land has pulled the reruns of the Dukes of Hazzard from its
schedule. I heard about this. Yeah.
Because the show made frequent use of the Confederate flag, particularly on the General Lee. That was a Challenger that Bo and Luke Duke used to drive? No, it was a Charger, a Dodge Charger. It was orange. And the network didn't elaborate much more on this, so it's unclear if this is a permanent move, but maybe they're waiting for the dust to settle on all of this. Now,
yeah, maybe, because they never seemed really overtly racist at all. I mean, they were hill jacks and all that, but yeah. I mean, I don't know.
They were scofflaws. That's what they were, running away from the law.
Sure. But also, it wasn't a very good show, so maybe it should have been taken off just for that reason.
Yeah,
but
right.
That being said, still, yeah, maybe till the hubbub dies down. I don't know.
I don't know. Well,
I don't know.
When the dust does settle, somebody might find a scary wig because the mass exodus from the Miss USA pageant continues because of what Donald Trump said about Mexicans when he declared his run for the GOP nomination. Flo Rida canceled his scheduled performance, as did Natalie LaRose. And the Voice winner, Craig Wayne Boyd, canceled. Emmett Smith is backing out as a judge. Another judge, Jonathan Scott from HGTV's Property Brothers, is also bailing out. And so the latest thing, Macy's, Trump, the self-proclaimed greatest jobs president that God has ever created.
That's who's classy, by the way. He's very classy. Yeah. He's a classy guy.
Continues to lose his own jobs. Macy's is the latest company to fire him. They dropped his menswear line, saying they have, quote, no tolerance for discrimination. Trump shot back, claiming he was the one who pulled the plug, and also saying that Macy's statement is a sign that they, quote, support illegal immigration, which is totally detrimental to the fabric of our once great country. There's the quote. And he also accused Macy's of being racist on Twitter. For something that they said. And let's see if I have it here. Yes. No, I don't.
I don't have it.
Okay.
Interesting aside to that story, because this is a menswear line, right? It's like ties and shirts or something.
Sure.
That,
yes.
Right. And you want to maybe take a quick guess at maybe where those products were produced?
Mexico? You're kidding, really?
No, that's the word.
Oh, yeah, that is too good.
They are made south of the border, where all the drug dealers and rapists come from.
That's right. Okay.
This actually just popped up while we've been on. Mm-hmm. He has, I guess, made some statement. I think the quote was, I love the Mexican people. Was a quote from Donald Trump, everybody.
Now, you all know probably by now, because there's been such a hubbub about this, that the New York Times published a recipe for guacamole yesterday morning that includes peas. All the folks on the internet unanimously rejected it, including President Obama, Jeb Bush. They tweeted how horrible that sounds and how un-American it is. I mean, isn't that your initial response? Please, it's un-American. Do not put peas in my guacamole. Is that
because guacamole being such an American thing?
Yeah, right.
Right.
Yeah. Let's see. Don't put peas in guac. Just put just onion, a little garlic, a little hot pepper. That's about it, right? And don't forget your avocados.
I was going to say there's a green thing you put in there. Yeah. That green thing that
exactly.
You get.
Yeah. Hey, coming up, you'll hear from a guy who says patriotism is more than just waving a flag. It's also about supporting American workers and American-made products. The whole Buy USA thing. But how in the world can you even tell these days what's made in America when you're buying your staples? We'll hear from Todd Lidscombe, the author of the book Remade in the USA, next, right here on Phil Hewlett and Friends. You're listening to Phil Hewlett and Friends. We thank you for that. I'm Phil. Gonzo Gregg is here. And
Hi.
You know, we're feeling patriotic, and why don't we back that up with a little more than just waving a flag? What do you say?
Lots of beer and barbecuing and blowing stuff up.
Okay, now that beer, that's a good place to start. Now, is that beer from Mexico, or is it from Belgium? Is it from Germany?
I don't know where it's from, but it's going in my belly is where it's going.
Yeah, right. Okay, so you got to be aware of that, because our next guest is the author of the book Remade in the USA. It's available in the store at Phil Hewlett and Friends, the founder of MadeInUSAForever.com. See where we're going with this. Todd Lipscomb. Hello, Todd. How are you?
Phil, it's great to be back. I'm doing great, too. Thanks.
Yes, return engagement, and we appreciate that. And so this is a great time of year to talk about your idea, which it's not a unique idea by any stretch of the imagination, but people need reminding that American-made products support American employees, American workers, and support our economy. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. And it's not just at the factory where that item was assembled. I mean, it's their entire supply chain, too. And people that work for them and service those suppliers as well. It goes on and on.
Now, what are some of the things that we buy every day? You know, staples that should be made in the USA, but we don't really think twice about it. We look for the best price, and we just put it in our shopping cart, and we go happily on our way. And we consume these products and find out later that they were made in China and they're laced with lead.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So you've hit on a very good point. I mean, we need to be especially careful with food products because if, you know, for example, we picked up some edamame beans the other day, and we'd had them before from the same retailer, and it was made in USA, grown in Arkansas or whatnot. But now it was from China. And, you know, I have young kids, and there's no way I'm bringing anything like that into my home because of all the chemicals into the products. And I've seen it firsthand when I lived in Asia for work. I mean, there's just chemicals spewing into the air and water. So any food product for humans or for folks' pets, don't take anything from Asia.
Now, you, the whole Asia thing, you worked for a tech company that was it based in Asia at the time?
Well, it's Western Digital. It was based here in California, but I worked for them in Asia for a total of 7 years over two stints.
Ah, okay. All right. Very good. So now, when you're buying clothing, everybody knows you can go into a store and think that you're buying the brand name a pair of pants that you thought you were buying, but there's a small chance it's going to be counterfeit. So the thought comes to mind because, you know, some products have that made in the USA, a little patch on there, or they have it on the hang tag that you have to rip off of there later and hope you don't destroy your clothing. But how do you know that that made in the USA emblem isn't counterfeit?
You know, people have become a lot less sensitive to imports, unfortunately. So the risk they're taking by committing that fraud, you know, versus the gain of being able to sell a little bit more to people like us, really isn't worth it for most of them. Now, I realize saying that Walmart just got, you know, caught red-handed this week selling stuff that was labeled Made in USA on their website, which turned out to be not Made in USA when people were getting it. It was a big article in the newspapers about that. But in general, you don't need to worry about this like Made in USA or that sort of thing. If it's labeled Made in USA on the product itself, it almost certainly is.
Do you say Made in USA?
There was that used to be an issue years ago, you might remember. They were faking it. It was USA Japan, and you know, it's been in a few sitcoms. I think they mentioned it on Saturday Night Live recently. But actually, that's not really been a problem for some years.
Yeah. Now, we started the conversation referencing beer. There will be a fair amount of that flowing this weekend.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And Greg here, who's one of the friends on the program, threw out an attitude that I think is probably relatively prevalent, that we don't really think it's just open mouth down the gullet. So much of the delightful, delicious beer is brewed elsewhere, imported from another country, and we have American workers and breweries here in the United States. So do we need to just go with the American beer this weekend because it's the 4th of July?
Absolutely. Hmm. And there's another factor with that too, Phil. I mean, some of our biggest breweries, like Budweiser, they're not even owned by Americans anymore. Mm-hmm. They're owned by Europeans or Canadians. But there are brands out there, like Sam Adams. They're definitely owned by Americans and brewed by Americans.
Which, incidentally, as prevalent as that name is, it still qualifies as a microbrew. Because in comparison to a Budweiser, it's like a flea on a dog's back.
I was just thinking something similar. Yes, yes, it's so much better. And there's some other ones out there, too. A lot of excellent microbreweries where you're, you know, employing real Americans, perhaps even Californians.
Yeah, no, there's lots of people brewing, and there's lots of great microbrews in California and in every state in the nation, really, and maybe this is the weekend where you support them.
Yeah, and people will be grilling in the backyard as well, so I suspect that you don't recommend Kobe beef on the grill, but some good Holstein from Texas or Oklahoma or Wyoming, something like that, right?
Absolutely. It's the exact same situation when we're supporting our own American farmers. We're supporting ourselves because they pay taxes here and, you know, support, you know, other American industries and so on.
Now, in your campaign, Todd Litzcomb, with Made in USA Forever, how often do you go on the offensive and butt heads with major retailers about products made in the USA and products not?
Well, they mostly ignore me because I'm so much smaller than they are, but I talk about them a lot. Because these major retailers, they are the ones that blew the gate open, Phil, and allowed this tidal wave of imports to come into our country. You know, retailers like Walmart, which when Sam Walton, the founder, was alive, had at least some commitment to Made in USA, have become the massive engines of undermining and gutting our own factories and industries. It's pathetic. You know, there's still a lot of small American manufacturers, but they can't even get on the shelves at the big retailers. That's why you need to look online.
Yeah, yeah, and you need to get to know your neighbors because somebody's manufacturing something in their garage or their backyard and support them as well.
That's an excellent point.
Yeah, that still happens, and it should be encouraged. People should start making and selling things in their garage until the feds catch up and start start regulating them and taxing them and all these
right.
kinds of things.
The homeowners association gets involved, and then it's all over for everybody.
Oh, yes, yeah. The HO. What is it called? Right. The HOA. There you go.
HOA, yeah.
Yeah. Luckily for me, I don't have one of those. Oh. All right. So if coming into this Independence Day weekend, the 4th of July weekend, everybody's waving their American flags. We're all patriotic. We're all jingoistic. We're feeling great that we're Americans. And we're sitting on Chinese lawn chairs we're watching TVs made in Japan and
drinking
these,
Guinness.
Yeah. So what's the umbrella statement that you'd like to send out to everyone who hears your voice right now?
Well, thank you that it really does make a difference and that it's a lot easier to find in this age of the internet than it used to be. Made in USA. Speaking of the 4th of July, I mean, I can't believe how many flags are made in China. That's just ridiculous. You know, folks can, you know, just Google Made in USA, whatever they're looking for, and probably find a lot of choices.
Yeah. And on your website, Do you have links to Made in America retailers and manufacturers?
The vast majority of people that come to my website use it as a reference source, and that's totally cool.
Yeah.
But they can buy stuff on it, too, if they like.
Yes, okay. And I'm visiting the website right now. It's madeinusaforever.com, and if you forget that, there's a link on our links page at philhewlettandfriends.com. And, yeah, there you go. There's a fine pair of carpenter shorts. It's a two-pack. They're made by Texas Jeans in the United States. And a
USA
great sales
cotton.
Price.
Yeah. Yeah, that's USA cotton grown here, too.
Yeah.
So and that same company makes, you know, blue jeans in a $30 range, mm-hmm. you know, that are also using USA cotton. And that's versus Levi's. That's now made in China.
Really?
Yeah, I know. That's $50-some dollars.
Yeah, right. Why should it be more if it's not, you know, one thinks. Now, here's the thing. If you're a bargain shopper, the traditional thinking, the conventional thinking is that something made in America because of our fee structure and union wages and all of this,
sure.
it's going to be more expensive.
Right. Well, here's the fact, though. From what I've seen, almost always, not 100% of the time, but almost always, the stuff that's still made here lasts much longer, like these jeans. So, yes, you could go to Mega Mart and find a knockoff brand of jeans for $12 or whatever. But if they split after one season and you end up replacing them every, you know, 8 months or a year, actually, not only was the Texas jeans much cheaper, but it's a much better value in the long run.
Yeah.
What do we do about stuff that's made from parts from other places? Because then that starts to get all convoluted, right? It's particularly like electronics. Maybe rarely are they assembled in the United States, but they, you know, there's parts. The supply chain comes from all over the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just ignore that stuff on my website because for me to help the economy the most, I just want to be able to say "Made in USA" out of USA content. But you're right. There's actually a lot of neat stuff out there that's made in USA and using some foreign content.
Right.
But it's just very hard to gauge. Is it 10%? Is it 50%?
Right.
With mine, at least, it's definitely 100%.
Yeah, if you
so
want
the stuff that you can be sure of, you can be like, this is USA stuff right here. Go for
Absolutely.
It, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. Todd Lipscomb, you are on the right track, my friend, and your website, Made in USA Forever, is wonderful, and we encourage everybody to buy the book, Remade in the USA. It's in the store currently at philhewlettandfriends.com, just listed right there at the top of the book list of folks who've been on this program before. Sir, thank you so much for being on the program once again, and happy 4th of July to you.
You too, Phil. Always a pleasure.
All right, there we go. Now, what percentage of people do you think say that finding a good bargain feels better than sex?
Zero.
You are incorrect, sir, and we'll get the correct answer next on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot, available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553. Greg, you're a big sports fanatic, right?
Yes, sports ball. I love the matches in sports ball. I love watching sports ball. I get all the guys over and we watch sports ball together.
Of course you do. I'm going to convert you into a hockey fan with this one tidbit.
Actually, it's the only sport I kind of pay attention to is hockey. Actually.
All right, fine. Well, if you're not all in, this will help you because perhaps the finest name in all of hockeydom. The Anaheim Ducks have just signed a one-year contract to a young man by the name of Corbinian Holzer.
Have fun with that during your live announce.
Corbinian Holzer. Is that an awesome name or what? I mean, he's got to be like an 8-foot Viking with a.
I would think. Do you do the team intros when they come on?
Oh, I do all of that. Yeah.
You do all of that, yeah.
I do all of that.
It's good you got a handle on that.
Sure, I've got a handle.
Yeah. All right.
So I'm not the name doesn't scare me, but the personage, somebody named Corbinian Holzer, might be a scary person.
Holzer, yeah. Well, it's like, you know, I announce roller derby.
You do.
There's some interesting names in roller derby, let me tell you.
I know.
Right. You know,
some scary characters as well. Mm-hmm. Here's you suggested that 0% of us say that a good bargain feels better than sex.
Now, are you suggesting? So there is something out there. Somebody is suggesting that finding a good bargain is more satisfying than.
Well listen, I like saving money as much as the next person. But
well, sure, but exactly.
Yeah, I'm not sure if it gives me that funny feeling in the pants that
Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah.
Pee Wee Herman said everybody's got a big butt, yeah. And. Seriously.
Now, according to a new survey, 10% of people say getting a good bargain feels better than having sex.
Okay, wait a minute. So, look at that percentage. That's 10%.
1 out of 10. I mean, what are the chances you're going to run into one of these people?
Hopefully never.
Now, the survey also found the top 10 things we brag about getting deals on, and hopefully this won't turn you on so much that you'll have to pull over or turn off your computer or flip off the show and keep your computer on, if you know what I mean. So the number 10 item is the deal that we brag about when we get deals. Computer equipment.
Yeah. Okay, sure.
Concert or sports tickets, you know?
Right.
Front row center, only $300.
50-yard line.
Yeah,
woo.
That's right.
At sports cabal.
A TV.
Oh,
get a good deal on a TV.
Big-ass TV?
Yeah.
Sure.
I may have bragged about that. I got a kind of a twofer deal. Presents. You get a deal on presents. People are selling their presents. What's the matter with them? That's worse than... than giving presents that somebody gave to you.
Is this based on bragging though? It's like bragging about it.
Bragging that you got a good deal.
Well, because you can't, you know, if you're a fairly decent human being, you're not, you know, bragging about that amazing sexual experience you had.
No, but these are the things that you got bargains on that people brag about. We already hashed over the sex thing.
Okay,
10% of people are lunatics.
All right, so 10% of people are okay. So TVs. Okay.
So
next?
we're on the list here. We're at number six now. People brag about the deal, the bargain that they get on a new car.
All right.
A bargain on meals at restaurants. Oh, so they come in with a coupon or a Groupon or something like that, and they get a deal on the meal, and they brag about that.
I wouldn't brag about that.
No.
Like, not at a restaurant. You want to be like, yeah, I can. I'll pick this up. I got this.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah. What'd you order?
Business expense.
You ordered Cordon Bleu? Yeah, no problem. I got it.
Yeah.
Cell phone plans. Okay, I think some of us do that, but it's more like comparing notes, right?
Right. It's helping somebody out. Yeah. It's like you're on a crappy plan here.
Now, I don't get this. People get bargains on groceries. Are these the coupon clippers?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
A lot of the grocery stores will send you like email stuff. You don't even have to bring in a coupon. You just once your card goes in, they automatically take it off.
Okay. Here are the last two, clothing and vacations. Got a good deal on a vacation.
Vacation, that's good. That's helping somebody out. Hey, look, I got a great deal, you know, on Hawaii package. You should check it out.
Good luck with that. Don't die on your vacation.
Sure.
Speaking of dying, there's technology. We bemoan the fate of humankind with the ever-increasing preponderance of robots in society.
Oh. Yeah, first of all, triple word score for preponderance.
Yes.
And second of all, I wanted to mention this after Manny was on talking about the Terminator, the new Terminator movie, right?
Yeah, right.
And so now they've, I guess, replaced Skynet with a new different Skynet or something. And it, you know, becomes sentient. And the robots are rising up, Phil, is what I'm saying.
Yes.
And it's happening and it has happened. A robot has killed a man. So mark this date. This is actually a true and kind of horrific story.
Yes.
At one of Volkswagen's production plants in Germany, just north of Frankfurt, there was this guy, 22-year-old guy, setting up one of the stationary robots that they use on the assembly line. And apparently it essentially went berserk and grabbed him and crushed him against a metal plate.
Yeah.
Because it's, I assume, like, programmed to pick up, you know, an automotive part and do something with it, and he was in wrong place, wrong time, human error. The investigation is ongoing, but he was killed by one of these assembly line robots.
Yeah. It grabbed them and squished them and pressed them up against the wall, and
that's basically what it says. Yeah, and they're unclear. I mean, because robots essentially follow human instruction, at least as far as we know so far.
Yeah.
So garbage that, in. Right, would go, right, exactly, back to original human error. But, what a horrible, horrible story.
We're waiting for the robot uprising. But will there be a Muppet uprising?
Oh, I don't know. There may be, because, how big of a Sesame Street fan are you?
Well, I watched it a lot when my girls were little, because
how about when you
were
a kid?
Fan.
Did you watch it?
Well, I didn't watch it when I was a kid.
Oh, really?
No.
Oh, wow. No, I love Sesame Street. And then I watched it while my kids were growing up. And this woman, Maria, was on since I was a kid.
What has happened to Maria?
Maria is leaving Sesame Street after 45 years on the show.
Where's she going?
It's she's retiring, I guess. Oh. Sonia Manzano, I believe, is the actress's name. And mm-hmm. she's been on, forever. And she also writes for the show.
But who's going to run the shop?
Well, yeah, she took over the shop after the guy that ran the shop, who can't remember his name, but Maria and Bob took over the shop after he died.
Yeah.
And so they took over the shop, and she's been on. Maria and Bob, I believe, were a couple, and this was later after my kids grew up, but mm-hmm. I think that they got married. Yeah, because if you do Maria on Sesame Street into Google, you'll see some pictures.
No.
There's her and Bob in their wedding outfit with Big Bird.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's been on, I think, since the beginning of the show, and she's leaving Sesame Street.
My goodness, I'm going to miss her. I am. Even though I don't watch Sesame Street, I have fond memories of her. And other ladies, do you know that in the entire Lord of the Rings movie trilogy, there are no scenes whatsoever where two women actually speak to each other?
Two women?
Leaving you with that
thought. I just remember a lot of walking in that film. Yeah. Just if you want to see guys walking, that's why you go to that. And we're walking.
On things they shouldn't be walking on.
Walking, there's some trees, and we're walking.
Hey, click on the contact button at philhewlettandfriends.com. You can leave a comment. Also on our Twitter at FathShow. Thanks to our executive producer, Mike Stark, our producer, Brooke Peterson. Our theme song is composed and performed by Russ Monson. For Gonzo, Greg Spillane, and for all of the friends, I'm Phil Hewlett. Can't wait to talk with you next time on Phil Hewlett and Friends.
In sports, speed is everything. When it comes to headache relief, speed is the only thing. Introducing Goody's Headache Relief Shot, the all-new liquid fast formula. Just screw off the top, down the shot, and knock back pain for fast, long-lasting relief. Leave headache pain behind with Goody's Headache Relief Shot. Available now at Walgreens.
I want to tell you about a spectacular dining experience. It's Portsacall Waterfront Dining, award-winning service and cuisine with a view of the dynamic L.A. Harbor from every seat. Enjoy daily sunset specials, as well as the South Bay's best champagne brunch. The outdoor harborside patio is a perfect setting for happy hour every weekday from 3 to 8. Portsacall Waterfront Dining. For reservations and directions, visit portsacalldining.com or call 310-833-3553.